So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
See that you do, because I'm hitting record first or second. Wait.
I did it.
It's a highly competitive atmosphere today. yeah.
I did it first.
Welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
Vaporwave aesthetic. We'll get into it. Hold on. I'm Ned. This is Meg. This is our podcast.
Hello.
We have a website, fcbm.io. If you go there, you can listen to the podcast for free. There's a a RSS feed, all that jazz and stuff. Also
jazz.
Yeah. You can email us. That's the only way really to get a hold of us. But do because you can hang out, chat, send an email, be like, oh my God, I'm part of the conversation. Or you can just tell us how awful it all was. Also fun.
Yeah.
Anyway,
just lambast us.
Vaporwave.
I like that it's the link that you sent me as the, like, here's the succinct definition of vaporwave was from aesthetics.fandom.com/wiki/vaporwave. Like, it's an internet thing. It's all internet based, right?
Yep.
Like, it's not, it doesn't exist anywhere off the internet.
Yeah. And when this little trend went by on the internet when I was around, back in my day, damn it. Like, the internet is so short in time. Like, it didn't exist, and then it did, and now it's here.
And now we're
and
here.
And it's like, damn, like, how much of my brain just has, like, its own unique history of the internet, right?
A huge chunk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge chunk because the internet has come to comprise a massive amount of what we think is real.
I know. It's nuts. Well, here's something that I thought was real. So here's a little story from Ned. As I was telling you, Meg, before, like, I was, you know, doing my thing, and this trend went by, and I looked at it at the time and was like, oh, I bet that's really big and, like, cool. And, like, I even know about some of that stuff.
All the kids are vaporwaving.
Yeah, yeah. And vaporwave is like, so there's another genre called, I think it's like outrun music genre. Mm-hmm. Fuck, it's synth wave. So
yes, synth wave is great. It's like old cop movie music.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's like, it's sort of like Vice City / Outrun, like Outrun the video game. It's sort of this, like, upbeat, like 1980s Terminator, Blade Runner, Outrun, Hotline Miami, like all this. Yeah, anyway. Very like retro futuristic, like landscapes are that, like, sort of wireframe early 80s CGI with like hot bright pink and, like, blues and blacks. Mm-hmm. And cyan, a lot of cyan.
Like Miami.
Yeah, like Miami, yeah. And then, you know, these sort of like gradients, lots of gradients.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought that vaporwave was like the well, let's just talk about what vaporwave is. So vaporwave is this micro genre, as this website says, and it's not that wrong. I mean, I'm sure there are people who know much more about this than I do. I can't stress enough that I just remember it going by and being like, that's the whole thing. Like, it's huge. Like, it's anyway.
It's this expansive genre of music. It's like a whole subculture, and yes, everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, everybody's doing it, right? Like, yeah. Anyway, it sounds
like
yes.
It's like 10 people and Ned.
And I was like, peeked in the shop window and was like, oh, cool. And then like walked on.
Right. Like this article you sent me said it's both a micro genre of electronic music and an internet based art movement that works with the essentially exists in the medium of digital collage with imagery cut and pasted from the end of the millennium and the promises of capitalism at that time.
Yeah.
So it this article is like it has a it blends elements of 1980s interior design with malls and lobbies and columns and palm plants and pink and cyan pastel colors and tiled floors and things from Japan's 1980s economic boom and television and 1990s web design and early CGI and logos of obsolete brands. And I'm like, that's it. That's everything. That's all the stuff that's in here. It's kind of crazy. Like there's all these motifs that they use. It's very nostalgic. And then I like that there's a list of related aesthetics.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's great. Cassette futurism.
Yeah.
Glitch art. Italo disco. Liminal space. Lo-fi. No wonder we like it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. I love, there's criticism of Vaporwave. Should we dive into that for a minute? So, it's been accused of appropriating and commodifying elements of various cultures, particularly from East Asia. This includes borrowing imagery from Japanese pop culture and incorporating kanji characters without fully understanding or respecting their meaning. The Vaporwave's tendency to rely on recurring motifs and visual cliches, such as palm tree statues and VHS artifacts, can be seen as formulaic and repetitive. Critics argue that this can result in a lack of innovation and originality, with many Vaporwave works appearing similar or derivative. I find that argument boring. Oh, Meg, I can't hear you at all. You've been talking. Oh, no. Well, that's okay. Hopefully we'll get her audio back and we won't have to do too many edits. Probably we won't edit this out. So I was just going to, I'll just talk a little bit while Meg fixes her mic shit. What I mean by like that argument being boring is like whether it's true or not is sort of like, okay. Like, does it, so the first part about the cultural appropriation rewording, I don't know who wrote this, so I don't know, like, how prevalent, obviously, these criticisms are. Is your, Meg, are you back? Still no.
Am I back?
Oh, yes, you're back.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Did you want to?
I nudged my computer and everything went haywire.
Everything was fucked. Yeah.
Sorry. Go on. Criticisms include. I was listening to you.
Yeah, I was wondering if I'd cut you off, like if you'd, because you were kind of talking, and I didn't know if you had something to say about it before I.
No, I mean I think it's possibly unfair to critique people on whether or not they're adhering to the principles of a genre when they may not even realize that that's what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Applying the same level of like. Academic critique to an emergent mini genre of music and digital art that was only around for like a hot second seems like something that you could do like consequentially, like after the fact, but maybe not during.
right. Yeah.
Which then raises the question, like, if it's after the fact, did anybody doing it actually know that they were participating in this genre or violating its principles and boundaries?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so
I love the imagery.
Yeah. No, the imagery. It's really fascinating. There's to that second criticism about it being formulaic or whatever is sort of like, I just find that kind of like, okay, yeah, like sure, lots of shit's formulaic. Sometimes that's great.
Right.
Like, you know, is it just a fucking 1,000 derivatives of a neon palm tree in a sunset? Like,
right.
if that's okay.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Right.
I like here how they say the term vaporwave is derivative of vaporware, which is a term in software and hardware to describe a product that is announced and heavily advertised to the public, but is never actually manufactured or officially released.
Right. I mean, it's also like great. In some ways, it's like more criticism, please. Like, please more legitimize this absurdly micro genre.
Right.
Like, and please, everyone levy lots of criticism in the direction of this artwork.
Right.
That's right. That's actually, I take everything back. They're totally right. This is fucking outrageous.
Well, I'm going to take the opposite stance, actually.
That's because fair.
If the etymology of vaporwave is a derivation of vaporware, and vaporware is something that's promised but that never arrives, then there's nothing to critique.
Right. Yes.
And
well, no, but then you maybe like you could critique the hype machine that was created in order to not deliver to deliver that certain brand of disappointment.
Yeah. So on this aesthetics wiki, it says that chronologically, vaporwave was preceded by sea punk, which is S-E-A-P-U-N-K.
Like ocean.
And I guess, and it was like an internet meme and an inside joke, but then it was like adopted collectively by some artists and like in 2012, in the year 2012.
Yeah.
Was an online phenomenon and like solidified into a particular style.
Right.
This is so fascinating. Like, I love that people are making this like wiki.
Yeah.
Like, so I love that the related aesthetics include Memphis Design and Memphis Light.
And Memphis Light, yes.
I don't know what that is. Let me look. Memphis Light is a stylized direct evolution of Memphis Design, which arose 84 to 1997. Apparently, like, the MTV logo was part of Memphis Light.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, my gosh. And those, like, cups, those, like, wax-coated paper cups they give you at the doctor's office with the crushed ice in it.
Yeah.
The squiggly abstract. Yes. Design on them as part of Memphis Light design aesthetic.
It's sort of like paintbrush dashes with a swoosh, like two-tone swooshes or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd call that. Splashes of like
retro
rough brush work.
Rough brush work. Yeah, like a dry brush.
Yeah.
Another related aesthetic is retrofuturism, which visualizes the future through the lens of past eras, technological and cultural understanding. So it's like when you go to Disney World and you see the world of tomorrow, and it's like what the people in the 1960s thought tomorrow would look like.
Right. Yep.
Which is kind of funny because that's essentially a version of what vaporwave is, except much, much, much more recent people from the past, people from the 2010s.
Yeah.
What they thought the future would look like, except they know that the future doesn't look like that. And they're mining the past for things that were promised but never arrived. I love vaporwave. Okay. When did you find out about this?
So I didn't realize that it was called vaporwave when it was happening in 2010. Like when I observed it from on far, right? Like, I was like, oh, that's going on over there. And then more recently, I watched a YouTube video by someone who I will absolutely promote because she's pretty great. But I gotta look it up. I wasn't really prepared for this. hold on.
Thus is the nature of our podcast.
Indeed.
We don't know where it's going to go. We can't possibly research it ahead of time.
No, but man, so great. I saved it. Let's go find my playlists. Da, da, da.
I learned today that
yeah,
the cat that we now have living with us loves eating Christmas cookies. He really enjoyed a Scandinavian wafer cookie.
Yeah.
That I opened up and he smelled it from across the room and came running over. And so I gave him a little bit crumbled up in my hand and he ate the whole thing.
That's,
and then he asked for more.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he's a good cat. He's a very interesting cat.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him a boat cat.
Man, I was not prepared for this.
That's all right. So,
you know, well, okay. So I watched, I'll think of it.
Okay. But you caught on to it when it was happening, right? Not like me where it's like 2025, the tail end of 2025. And I'm like, this happened in 2010?
Exactly. What? Yeah. Yeah. And I was recently reminded of it watching this woman do some art based on it, right? Like she just as like an exercise. And so, yeah, so it's, and also like, I don't know that I don't hate the music, nor do I like it. It's like, it's a certain aesthetic. Like, it's kind of like, the whole impetus about this episode when I texted you last night and said about like,
yes,
what did I call it? I said something like landscape or like, touring aesthetics. Like we're visitors, we're taking a sort of verbal tour of them, right? So like if you're listening, like we're giving you a little guide around the aesthetics of things.
The aesthetic kind of reminds me of like, did you ever play with Pogs?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like more sophisticated digital artwork than was on Pogs, but not by much.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I think the article that you sent me said something about, or the wiki said something about like incorporating both the visual and the audio so that you get like a digital image collage that also has a soundtrack to it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the image is just still because it's a collage of still images. Mm-hmm. But the Muzak is like what you would hear in an elevator or a mall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, it's kind of slower and it's sort of like, I mean, there's a lot, actually. There's a lot of music that's been produced that's been considered to be inside of the vaporwave microgenre.
Okay.
It's hard to say. Well, so if you look,
hypnagogic pop.
There's a band called Macintosh Plus. And their album cover is like quintessential, right? So, and it's the image that's at the top right of the example image. And so
yes,
the band or whatever the artist, Macintosh Plus, has this album called Floral Shop. And it's very much like vaporwave aesthetic. Like the sound of it is, it's hard to describe, kind of very synthy, I think, if I remember correctly. I haven't listened to it very recently. Yeah, I don't know.
Too bad we can't hear it.
Yeah, we could try. We should. I've been thinking about trying to figure out how we could get audio like that sort of more piped in. I think we tried one time and it was like really hard to get the levels right, but we should maybe make some effort to do that. Because it would be cool. Yeah.
It's interesting here under the visuals subheader. This article talks about displaying brand names and logos.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting. The brands that they listed include Adidas, Pepsi, Microsoft, Windows, PlayStation, Arizona Iced Tea.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That is like, their logo is like a really recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Like, if you just describe Vaporwave to me, you can say a bunch of things about it. But when you offer something like the Arizona Iced Tea logo, it's like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I get right. Symbols of exotic vacations like palm trees, dolphins are also used. Common colors, pastel pink and cyan. City skylines, malls, liminal spaces, surreal nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I like the surreal, the surrealness of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested in this hypnagogic pop genre of music that it started from. Like, it's like apparently vaporwave forked off of hypnagogic pop.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know that. I'm heavy, just acknowledging what you said. Mm-hmm, it's like, oh, uh-huh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Heavy use of samples from 1980s and 1990s music, typically pop, smooth jazz, or Muzak. Mm-hmm. And samples are often pitched down, layered, or altered in a classic, chopped, and screwed style. But it has started to incorporate more original compositions. See, to me, if you have original compositions, that's just, it has to be like a remix of the unfruitful past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Apparently some people have produced vinyl and cassettes and also formats like mini discs and floppy discs.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this is the part where I'm just like, it's fucking going on. Like, it's not,
that's cool.
Yeah, like there's people who are just making it happen, and it's just kind of a like a very distinct like interest.
There's like, this is great. Like the artists, they list artists that are hyperlinked so that you can go to them. Like Vectroid, aka Macintosh Plus, aka Prism Corp Visual Enterprises, aka Information Desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go on.
Daniel Lopatin or Lopatin, aka Chuck Person, mm-hmm, aka 10tricks.never. AKA Sunset Corp. Somebody named James Ferraro. The word surfing all in caps, but like kerned out. So the spacing in between the letters is expanded.
Uh huh.
Somebody named Telepath. Someone 2814, also kerned out. Weird. Tupperwave.
Tupperwave.
That's great.
Uh huh.
Oh God, Tupper, talk about fucking unfulfilled promises. All these people who bought Tupperware because they're like, it's great, you can drop it and it won't break and you can run over it with your car and it won't shatter.
Yeah.
But the second you put it in the microwave, which is what literally everybody did with it all of the time, you're just pumping your food full of plastic that's going to kill you. And any of us who ate it 3-4 decades ago should probably be starting to feel the effects right about now.
Ready, go.
Ready to go. I'm going to write a funeral dirge about my Tupperwave because I'm dying from plastic crap from the end of last century. So apparently, vaporwave isn't just 10 people plus you, because there are other like subgenres. So there have to be at least several people making this music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's it's not nothing. Like it's a whole scene. Like this is a thing. Like you could do a vaporwave theme party and you could have a lot of fun with it. You could talk about the fucking bizarre music. Yes, I want to meet these people for sure. And I bet you we could find a scene. I bet you Minneapolis has a vaporwave scene.
Probably. Apparently, the 1992 Sega Genesis game Echo the Dolphin is a foundational influence on the vaporwave aesthetic.
Ovs, apparently. Have you played that game?
No.
Oh, it's it was when it came out, it was like I remember visually it was just like really appealing to me. Like you played this dolphin and it was very did you play Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes.
So to my mind, the movement of the advertising I was seeing of Echo the Dolphin had very much the Sonic the Hedgehog feel of like fast movement and flowing movement.
Because
you're in the water. The reality, of course, is like it wasn't actually that very good game. I think there was if I remember, I think this is the right game I'm thinking of. I think that there was this problem with it just was like hard to play or something. I can't remember. There was like some, maybe this is not the same game I'm thinking of, so I don't want to like slam it too hard. But I think there was It sold a lot of copies, but I think it was like there was some funky problems with it or something, but maybe not. I don't know. Apparently I'm looking at the reviews right now and it's like 75%, 76% on GameRank, which is not bad for such an old game.
There's another game
called
Broken Reality, which was released in 2018 and is set entirely within a 3D rendered internet parody world that is a direct homage to the visual language of Vaporwave. We should play this game.
What's it called?
Broken Reality. It's from 2018.
Huh. Interesting. Oh, nice. I think it's on the Switch.
A lot of Miami Vice's aesthetic was imported into Vaporwave and Synthwave, like 1980s music and technology, ocean, glass bricks, pastel neon colors.
Oh, this is
So the whole point of like Vaporwave is that it's actually like making a political statement about unfulfilled promises of capitalism, which is really interesting because Synthwave isn't political at all. Like, this is stressing here how like Vaporwave is satirical because it's pointing out all of the things that like didn't come to fruition.
Right.
Through consumerism. And it's nostalgic for those failed objects, whereas Synthwave is more like nostalgic in a straightforward and appreciative manner, where it just like celebrates the sort of 1980s synth music and neon and like weird mishmash of technology at the time, neon lights.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's also makes me think of that video game Hypnospace Outlaw. Did you ever?
Oh, I've never played that.
Oh, that also is.
How could you have not told me about this before?
Well, it was a thing you said to me that one time about my mother, and I just fucking never could forgive you.
Yeah.
And so,
what's
now,
the name of the video game again?
Hypnospace Outlaw. It's for sure on Nintendo Switch. I have it. Hypnospace Outlaw it came out in 2019. It's like you're kind of interfacing with like a web browser from the 90s, kind of, or like Windows 95, 98, that kind of generation, like with Internet Explorer. But you're like browsing it's like a point and click mystery kind of, but you're kind of like going through these like pages of internet, but then also there's like 3D stuff. I haven't played it that much, but you're basically like, you know, it's a mystery that you uncover shit. Like it's kind of
that's cool.
Yeah. Like a sort of graphic novel.
You find
sort of
clues and stuff.
Yeah. Like you find clues and stuff and you like read about information and let's see, what does it say? So an interface based on that of a typical graphical interface for a desktop operating system similar to Windows 95, 98, etc. You use a fictional in-game web browser called Hypnospace Explorer. You discover and report objectionable content and you've been assigned to like investigate by the Hypnospace staff. But then there's like a story that evolves under that and et cetera. But you basically, you kind of like search the internet and like explore this like Hypnospace thing. And it's, you know, it's just kind of full of this art, right? It's like everything is like writing and music and art. Like that's what you're getting, right? You know, as you uncover clues and things. It's, yeah, like it's pretty chill. Like for sure it's not, you don't need to be like a good at video games, right? Like this is something you would just sort of interactive media, like fiction.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Broken Reality looks more like 3D shooter. But I think you like take photos or something of that.
Huh.
Let's look and see what. Oh, sorry, you were gonna say.
There's something. There's like clothing companies that make stuff.
Yes.
That is like a vaporwave aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one right now that sells like streetwear, like hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. that are have a lot of like weird cartoons and anime and I don't know. I get it though. I like it.
It's pretty
Isahara design.
It's pretty cool.
So is it's I mean, people are still selling this stuff. These websites are active. So it's still an active genre, I guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like it's I think it's
not like passe.
No. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know about it depends on who you talk to, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
But my point is like I bet we could find a scene where there are people who are A, like doing some kind of art related to this. Or B, yeah. Like it's like a music scene or a hangout scene or something like that.
Like, yeah, there, yeah. It definitely, wow. It just kind of like recycles brands too. Like there's all these like weird logos thrown in. Like a lot of it is very reminiscent of the 80s for sure. And a lot of it is like things that I sort of remember from my childhood, but not explicitly. Like it's the style of stuff.
Yeah.
From my childhood, but not actually.
Right.
Like, this is pretty interesting. Here's a company called Moon Lambo, as in like Lamborghini, and moonlambo.com. And they have a duvet for a bedspread that is the like. It's the sort of packaging design of VHS tapes that you would buy blank and then record stuff onto them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a black background and in bold, all caps, it says Super Tape Gold. And then there's like rainbow stripes. And on the rainbow stripes are written the words High Grade HGT120 246-hour video cassette. It's like, this is all just shit that I like totally forgot existed in my childhood, but it's so familiar when I look at it now.
Yeah.
This Moon Lambo has figured out like viral marketing because they have new releases that are all limited edition and then they go public, but you can hear about it before it goes public. Funny. It's like a cult. It's like, yeah, a clothing cult.
Yeah.
So on pitviper.com is another one. And I clicked on it and it shows some people with two children, one man holding a baby. Everybody's dressed in blue jeans and white t-shirts. They've got crazy sunglasses on.
Yeah.
The caption says, "Does your stepchild hate you?" and then you can click shop now. And the shop now button is the fucking, it's the visual aesthetic from like the iMac.
Yes.
Interface where it's like a blue, like a perfectly sky blue, three-dimensional looking bubble that you click on. Oh man, this is like seriously turn of the century shit. Find your fit. Okay, so these are like goggles. They're like goggles, I guess. They're goggles and sunglasses. These people make goggles and sunglasses that fit in with the vaporwave aesthetic. They're great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Pitviper.com. They have some heart-shaped ones that are fantastic. Of course, they're all like a zillion dollars. So, you know, if you're a club kid, I guess you buy them and wear them once and never wear them again or
that's
something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you do it.
So, yeah, like these, oh gosh, cool shirts with a Z. This looks like a lot of like video game aesthetic on streetwear, like hoodies or like matching tracksuits. So this aesthetic is great. Now, like, do you think that this would be appealing to anyone who hadn't already lived with it? Like, is the source of its appeal the fact of the of its in being imbued with nostalgia?
I don't know. I think that. For me, I think it's sort of for me, it's like fulfilling the promise of what a lot of that shit did. Like, it's not nostalgic so much as it's like, actually, that art could have been cool. Check it out. Like, or not even cool, but just like more just like being expressive about how it made you feel, I guess, and not and maybe the nostalgia is part of it, but I feel like a lot of it is like nostalgia to me is like it doesn't feel like it's like idolizing existing like objects from that time so much. Like some, yeah, obviously, but the art itself is more like, yeah, okay, well, when I say objects, I mean like, it's not like there's some fucking like run up in the market of like eBay products and shit being sold like madness to all these synthwave or these vaporwave people. Like they're making, yeah, new art and new products. They're making new vinyl and new tapes. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's all over the place. That's a hard question to answer.
Yeah. I guess we'd have to ask people who,
I guess it just depends on whether you feel nostalgia about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, oh man, I wish I'd spent more time doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
Or there's like spending more time in the art of it. Right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. There's a T120 VHS videotape jacket,
yeah,
decor on a hoodie for $35. Oh, it's sold out. Dang it. I would have bought that.
Yeah. There's so many.
That's great.
Just looking at just all the different images people have made.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. I think I've come full circle. Like I think it can be very nostalgic. For me, I think it's very escapist.
It is very escapist, yes.
And so it's hard for me to, like, nostalgia is a kind of escape.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think it's like, it's harder for me to like delineate that. I'm like, I don't know. Sure. Like it's art, it's escapist, but this art specifically feels very like escapist. It's like these very like alternate liminal spaces.
Yes.
Which is not, that's not a negative. It's great. There's all kinds of cool places to escape to and experience life and be amazing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like
it's great.
Yeah.
They have some high top tennis shoes with the VHS logo. Oh, like the stripes.
Are you looking?
I'm at the Moon Lambo.
At the Moon Lambo.
Yeah, if you click through, if you go scroll all the way down that aesthetics.fandom.wiki or aesthetics.fandom.com/wiki/vaporware is the primary place that you sent me to.
Yeah.
And then if you go to that location and you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's like
Moon Lambo
sites, communities, vendors, right? And yeah, under vendors, there's all these different companies that are making like streetwear or whatever, like clothing mostly.
Those are fucking dope shoes, actually, like those T120 video cassette shoes. And the thing is, like, they're pretty expensive, but they're not outrageous. They're almost $200.
And yeah,
they don't have them in my size. There's no way I'm getting those.
They also have a sale section where like all their shit's on closeout, and they have lots of tennis shoes there.
Oh, this is a great website. There's just like a lots of nonsense on here that's really fun.
Now, this is interesting. They have a Doge Life crop top that they're selling in their sales section. To me, the Doge dog is like a totally different genre.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to imagine that you can't be selling to one micro genre and expect to like have a business.
I guess so.
I mean, you could, but you know, like that's a pretty narrow market.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, like they have a bomber jacket that is super great. It's pink and white with stripes and like has some weird logo on it. And then it has the Moon Lambo logo. And I wish they still had some. I would totally. Diet.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks a lot. Now I'm just going to be hunting on eBay for all this shit. Buying myself weird bomber jackets I don't need.
Uh-huh. Now I want to buy all these.
And then I'll start a genre of like audiovisual art that references the disappointment I feel when the products that didn't materialize are materialized and I do buy them and consumerism and capitalism still doesn't solve any of my problems.
Right.
Going to be an offshoot. a subgenre. This is great.
So great.
This is, I'm going to spend so much time looking at this now.
I know. Sorry. You're welcome.
Okay. It's good. It's great.
It's such a just weird niche thing. And I just thought it just would be really fun.
It's perfect. Did our research team send us any colors of the day? Because we were just discussing how Pantone's color of the year this year is proof that they are know-nothings and don't understand the task that they've even assigned themselves.
Yeah.
As such as it is. And I would like to show them up by having some good colors of the day. If you can contact the team, see what they have.
Let me see. Well, the website is down, so... That's
well, shit.
Yeah.
They took time off because they were like, if fucking Pantone can phone it in with fucking HOA approved yes. beige or whatever the fuck the name of their color of the year is. White.
Well, I have
Eggshell,
I have an idea though.
Yeah.
The vaporwave colors could just be the colors this time. So
oh yes. Salmon pink and cyan.
Yeah, salmon pink and cyan. Exactly. Yeah. So okay. Those are the two colors for today.
Well, we're going to have to call. We're going to have to wait until halfway between Wednesday and Thursday at the height of the holiday.
Yeah.
And call those motherfuckers up and be like, hey, back to work, TikTok.
Yep.
How are we supposed to make it through the war on Christmas if we don't know what our team colors are and which troop we're supporting?
We're gonna have to record another podcast tomorrow.
I know.
Because we have to. So while you're listening to this one, we will be recording another one for Christmas special, I guess.
Whose troops to support in the war on Christmas?
Exactly. Yeah. I heard it's really heating up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So somebody I read and support on Substack who's named Khalil Green.
Yeah.
Who is an independent journalist and is 25 years old and one of the best writers ever. He's so great. He writes about history and his blog is called History Can't Hide from Khalil Green. And he writes all kinds of interesting things. And he wrote an article or a blog post or a newsletter, whatever you want to call it, about how Jingle Bells, much like our national anthem, is a secretly racist song. And just the verses that are offensive have been removed over time and sanitized and whitewashed down to something that everybody thinks is just fine. And he wasn't saying, like, don't fucking sing Jingle Bells. He was like, hey, did you know that Jingle Bells was actually like a song that people invented to make fun of Black people and how they like laugh and making fun of Black joy.
Right.
and they used to sing it in like minstrel shows. Fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. But he didn't say don't sing Jingle Bells. He was just like, hey, here's another example of like something that started out as cruelty towards Black people that just got mainstreamed in America. God, and like, and then people had a fucking meltdown. Like they talked about it on Fox News. They were very upset. Very upset. We can't even sing Jingle Bells anymore.
God.
Yeah. It's like you can sing it, but we're all gonna think you're racist now.
All right. Should we call it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we've got a big day tomorrow.
We do have a big day tomorrow. Yeah.
Doing the war on Christmas.
Doing the war. Yeah. Tomorrow we do the war on Christmas. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay, bye. Thanks.